Desire your prayers this afternoon. Somehow I would like for us, the Lord, to help us to look beyond this being an afternoon service, to look beyond the handful of folks that are here, because I feel like the Lord has given us something that should resonate throughout the whole church. It's weighty. It's important to God. And if it's important to God, it ought to be important to us. I'd like for you to look at a scripture with me in Exodus, the 20th chapter. I'll begin reading at the first verse. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven and earth, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Look at a scripture, Jeremiah, the 44th chapter, the second verse. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. I don't believe that it's any secret to any of us, as we read in the Word of God and understand that God hates the worship of idolatry. He said he hated it. He said, abominable thing that I hate. God hates idolatry. And he says he's a jealous God. And he tells us to turn away from it. I want to read 1 Corinthians. This is New Testament now. 1 Corinthians 10. And verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry, or run from it. One more before I begin to address this. 1 John, the 5th chapter. 1 John 5. Verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I have heard questions from time to time. Suppose you have too. Maybe you even have questions in your own mind about these kind of things. But I want to talk to you about idols a little bit this afternoon by the help of the Lord. Here it is. Idols. There probably wasn't any other thing that the children of Israel did in the sight of God that angered him any more than his people worshiping other gods. Idols. Idolatry. It says in Psalm 16 and 2, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom all is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. That's pretty serious, pretty strong, stern, pretty strong language. But it denotes to you and I that God hates idol worship. God is a jealous God. He wants our affections. He wants our hearts and desires, minds to be on Him. He wants to be first in our lives. He wants to be first. Not second or third, but He wants to be first. So today we kind of maybe struggle with, what is an idol? Do you ever think about that? What is an idol? Well, to some folks it may be statues that they have sitting around the chapel building where people go to worship. But the Lord told us not to make any graven image from neither gold nor silver nor wood or stone. He didn't want us to worship or put anything in our worship before God. He wanted Him to be the focus. He wanted us to seek Him and to search Him and to serve Him all the days of our life. Now, what is an idol? Well, quite simply, an idol is anything that replaces the one true God. It doesn't have to be something, some kind of a structure that we carve out or that we mold or shape, but it's anything that replaces the one true God. Idols can be any person or thing regarded with admiration, adoration, or devotion of our hearts. Idolatry is the main reason why God rebuked and judged the children of Israel. He wants you and I to give a higher priority in our life, in our relationship with God. That's what God is wanting and requiring out of every one of us. Now, He said, whatsoever I seek my good in is my Lord. Whatever your pleasure is, whatever you seek your ultimate good in, whatever you put first in the affections of your heart can become an idol to you. It can become an idol to you. God has provided us many good things to enjoy. But He gives us these things temporarily. This life is temporary, folks. And the things that God gives you and I to enjoy are meant to point us to the joy that He gives us in Jesus Christ. The things that we enjoy in life should point us, and we should understand and realize it's temporary, and should point us to the joy that we find in Jesus Christ. He is to be our all-satisfying treasure. Now, what is an idol? I won't be able to name them all, but I'm going to name a lot of them that can be to any of us. A preoccupation with money can be an idol. Whatever we set up that we look to and we kind of idolize and we put a preeminence or an importance on that ahead of God is an idol. A preoccupation with money. A preoccupation with sports. A preoccupation with entertainment. And I want to say, I'm going to be very frank this afternoon. This generation that's coming up today, they don't want to hear sports being talked out against. They don't want to hear entertainment being talked out against. But I want to tell you this afternoon, it is many people's gods today. They are worshiping it. They're spending their money on it. They're spending their time on it. They're giving their love to it, their affection to it, and it is an idol unto them. And it should not be to God's people, folks. It should not be to you and I, because it will replace the affection of Christ in our hearts and lives. Idols do not minister grace to your soul. Anything that I set and am preoccupied with before I, anything I set before Christ will not minister grace to my soul. I can idolize my home. I can idolize my job, a vehicle, a pet. I tell you, they're really getting ridiculous today with pets. And pet cemeteries and dogs and cats and all these kind of things. They just love them more than some people love and take care of their own children. It's important to them, yes. We can idolize a computer. And folks, Lord help us and Lord help me that I don't spend more time on that thing than I ought to spend. And that includes my cell phone and anything else that's electronic. Because, folks, I do believe electronics can be a curse to God's people. Because it will take your time, it will sap your spirituality, it will take your spiritual strength, and it will cause you to have an affection for things that you didn't even know existed. If you get on those things. We can idolize our computers. Or what we look at on that computer. We can idolize things, see? We can idolize and promote alcohol, drugs, even work. Listen, even the work that you do for the Lord that consumes all of your energy and time, we can feel that is so important, and we can put our work ahead of our devotion and our relationship with Jesus Christ. We have that account where Jesus told them, they said, Lord, we've done this in your name, and we've done that in your name. We've done all these things in your name. And he said, depart from me. Ye that worketh iniquity, I never knew you. Understand, Jesus is first in our affections. And anything else and everything else that would take him from first place, folks, can become an idol to us if it displaces Christ in our relationship here on earth. Anything that consumes all of your energy and time, be very careful, be very watchful, because it can become an idol to you. You see, people today are a little confused, get a little confused sometimes about idols, say, well, I don't have any statues in my car, I don't have any statues in my room, I don't have this and I don't have that. But folks, it's deeper than that. It's what's in the heart. It's what's in the heart. And what my affections are set on in my heart. God hates idol worship. He hates it. And He destroyed the children of Israel time and again for their idolatry, for their fornication of falling away from the one true God. Proverbs 27 and 12 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and he hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I want to give you a little deeper. I'm going to come back to that verse. I want to give you something a little more about this idol worship. Idols, when it causes me to disobey God, it's an idol. When it gives me greater joy than Christ does. In it was mentioned this afternoon, so I'll use this. There's nothing wrong with going fishing. There's nothing wrong, but you know, this old flesh can get obsessed with anything. Whenever I need to be spending my time before God in prayer and in meditation for the sake of my soul, and fishing takes priority to that, folks, it's an idol to me. And it'll cost you. It'll drain you of your spirituality if that's what it becomes to you. If that's what you're obsessed with, if that's what you think about when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night, folks, it's an idol. And you need to get rid of it. You need to control that thing, because it'll destroy you. When it gives me greater joy than Christ Himself. When it is what I daydream about the most. It's what I think about the most. And it's not Christ, it's an idol. It's something that I have set up. I've fallen in love with it. I've got this great desire for it, and I've fallen in love with it. And if it's not Christ, folks, it's going to get us in trouble. I remember years ago, people taught I was in a setting, and there was someone confessed, said, you know, I used to love to read romance novels. A saint said, I used to love to read romance novels. Well, I never was there. But whatever it is, and that's what you love to read, or that's what you love to do, folks, it's an idol. It's an idol to you. It's a detriment to your soul. It'll sap you of your spirituality. What I enjoy most to talk about. You know, you really have to get with a real good saint to be able to talk about the Lord. Everybody else wants to talk about everything but the Lord. But we want to talk about the Lord. It's what I enjoy most talking about, is the Lord. But if I enjoy most talking about going camping or going over to my children's house and I'm obsessed with those kind of things, folks, be careful, be aware, be on your guard. The enemy can make anything, can magnify anything to your mind. And it can get down into your heart if you're not careful. What I fear losing the most. That's a good one. What I fear losing the most. You know what I fear losing the most? is the love of God out of my heart. I don't want to lose that. I don't ever want to lose the love of God out of my heart. I don't want to ever lose my relationship with Christ. I don't want to ever lose and fail in my walk with the Lord. That's my focus. Jesus Christ is my Lord and He's my Savior. What I most enjoy reading about, we touched that. What I love spending money on. You see, that's where sports and entertainment kind of come in there. Those things are so important to me. I will go and I will spend, I not only go to the games, but I'll buy their jerseys and their hats and all the other paraphernalia, and I'll spend $150 on overpriced food when I get there and do those kind of things. Folks, be careful and be aware. I remember teaching a young people's meeting in LaRonger, Louisiana many years ago, and I had a young woman, a young sister, ask me what's wrong with going to a ball game. Well, if you've ever been there, you don't need to ask that question. The things that go on at a place like that, the language that is used, the drinking that goes on in those kind of places, ain't no place for a saint of God. It just ain't no place to be. It ain't no place that you want to be when the Lord comes and calls for you. I'll tell you that. You don't want to be there. So stay away from those kind of idols. Entertainments and music and all those Hollywood and all those kind of things. Folks, it's ungodly. You know, I know that this is hard for our young people to wrap their minds around, because they're young and they got a lot of energy and they got a lot of desires and they want to see the world and they want to see things and they want to experience this and they want to experience that. I want to tell you this afternoon, in the fear of God, there's things out there in this world you don't need to experience. It'll get a hold of you. Once it gets a hold of you, you know what happens? It becomes an idol. It displaces Christ in your heart. When that happens, it's an idol. Anything that you allow to displace Christ is an idol to you. Love spending money on those things. What I look to for heart rejuvenation. Oh, that excites me. That just lifts me up. That makes me feel so good. You hear those kind of things. You know, I've been around my family, my children and grandchildren, and they go to these concerts sometimes and they hear these fellas and women sing songs, and they're supposedly gospel singers. And some of the songs that they sing and some of the ways that they sing it, they just get into that and they think it's so wonderful and so lovely, and it has no spirit in it whatsoever. It has a spirit, I'm sorry, but it doesn't have the Spirit of God in it whatsoever. Be aware. Be on your guard, folks. May the Lord help us. What I look to for heart rejuvenation, it's kind of picks me up, makes me feel good. Be careful of what you allow to make you feel good. The Word of God ought to make you feel good. Reading the Scriptures ought to make you feel good, shouldn't it? What I most enjoy spending time on. What I most enjoy spending time on. And now I'm going back to this scripture, this verse I read in Proverbs 27 and 12. Basically, I think we understand what an idol can be, right? Anything that displaces the love of God in my heart. He said, a prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Now I want to ask you this afternoon, in the fear of God. Do you want to be a prudent man? A wise man? That understands and realizes that, and listen to me, things aren't always going to be what they are right now. This country is not always going to be what it is right now. Do you know that because of the idol worship of this nation and this country is doomed for judgment? God is not going to let it pass. He's not going to overlook it. All the ways that men have sought after all their idols and all their other gods, I'm prophesying to you this afternoon, because the word says so, that God is going to bring judgment upon this land. All, they said, the wicked will be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And we truly have forgot God. Let's look at a scripture found in the book of Hosea, 4th chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. Ye children of Israel, he's talking to his people. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now you tell me, are we there yet? It's like the little child when you're going on a vacation trip somewhere and a little child can't take a long car ride and they say, are we there yet? Folks, we're there. Read it. The Lord has something to say with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Folks, he's talking about a national falling away of a land or of a nation. On a national scale of falling away from God. You and I, folks, you and I, the saints of God, are the only hope of holding on and keeping our hearts and our lives pure and free from idols and free from the things of this world, that you and I can pray and beg God for mercy. Because there's coming a time, folks, there's coming a time when this nation's going to see some things. I don't know if you all realize how fragile this nation really is, but it is fragile. You know, there's been people in our country now for several years that have been planning I don't know what. This is not a conspiracy theory. It isn't anything I'm not trying to make people afraid. I'm telling you that God has turned this country over, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. There it is. And every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. In other words, the priest have failed. Instead of the people measuring up to the priest is measured down to the people. They've failed to be watchmen on the walls. They failed to cry out against wrong. They failed to cry out against sin. They failed to warn the people. They failed to tell the people to hold on to the old paths, to keep the true way. They failed to do this. And folks, in the fear of God, we must cry out and we must say, folks, don't remove the ancient landmarks. Hold on to the truths that got us to where we are today. That's the only thing that's going to bring you and I through the scourge. It's coming through upon this land. It's the only thing. Don't remove the ancient landmarks. Don't water it down for me, folks. Don't try to make it an easier path for me to travel. Jesus said, straight is the way and narrow is the gate. And he didn't change that. Things that our people are turning to today. It's causing a shallow experience with the Lord. It's causing a shallow walk with the Lord. Folks, I do believe that there's an upheaval coming in our land. The world's on fire today. There's all kinds of trouble. We're right on the verge of wars in many different places with some pretty good-sized countries, folks. And God is withdrawing himself. He says, I hate fornication. I hate idolatry. I hate idol worship. I hate it when you turn from me and you set anything and everything else up above me first in your life. I hate it when you do that. That's what God said. Folks, wars and crisis are already in many nations. And we're in a crisis situation right here and now. I don't know if you realize it or not. But our economic strength of this nation is very weak. It's very fragile. Monetary values of the dollar could be brought down just like that. We can have thousands of dollars in the bank, and the next thing you know, there's nothing to sustain us. Our power grids in this country, folks, wouldn't take much for these groups that wanna destroy us and kill us. It wouldn't take much for them to go out and knock them out one by one. And you'd be in the dark. And you wouldn't be able to go anywhere or do anything. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm giving you some reality. You don't play with God, do you? Can't play around with God. Folks, we don't have time to play around with God. We don't know when this time is coming. We don't know when he's coming for us. But his word tells us, the land shall mourn and everyone that dwells in it shall languish. And he said, therefore, verse 5, shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. To me, those are frightening words. To me, they're very serious. Because Daniel, when he prayed to God, he said, oh, great and dreadful God. God is a God of love and mercy. He surely is. He's proven that to us. But he's also a God of wrath. And he hates fornication. And he hates idolatry. Folks, we can put Church of God out there, Evening Light Saints, if you want to. But it better be right in here. It better be right in here, and it better be right in your home where you live. Not just when you're out in front of everybody else, but what you're doing at home, what you're looking at, what you're reading, how you're conducting yourselves, folks. We better have it on hand if we want to escape the scourge that's coming. Crime, violence, spreading all over the United States of America. People angry, hatred. Look at the strife between Republicans and Democrats. The left and the right, the liberal and the conservative. Look, it isn't just words anymore. We're going out and shooting and killing and taking lives because lives aren't precious. They don't mean anything anymore to people. Why? Because there's no truth. Nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. You ever listen to one of the conservative talk shows and they talk about what we need to do to get things straight? You ever hear any of them say, folks, we need to get on our knees and beg God for mercy? You ever hear any of them say that? It's the only thing that's going to work. It's the only thing that's going to work. Then he went on to say, my people, my people. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because thou hast rejected knowledge was given, but you rejected it. And because you rejected it, I will also reject you, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Folks, I could cry. It saddens my heart so deeply to see the saints' children that are unsaved, that are out there groping in darkness today, trying, what do they say when you, I ask one of them, how you doing? I'm living the life. Are you? Are you living the life? Folks, there's only one life to live, and that's the life to live for Christ. Everything else is idolatry. Everything else is fuel for the burning. It's all going to pass away. What's going to be your testimony at the judgment day? What are you going to stand on at the judgment day? What kind, how much oil will you have in your lamps on the judgment day? Will we be out looking for oil, looking for help, and the bridegroom comes and closes the door in our face? This is serious. I don't know about you folks, but this is where I live. This is my heart this afternoon. I'm concerned about us. I'm concerned about God's people. I'm concerned about the whole prospect of it. I'm concerned about it. It takes sleep from your eyes, you know. I can wake up, I can go to sleep after prayer, and I go to sleep real good and wake up sometime in the middle of the night, and it takes forever sometimes, seems like, to go back to sleep because these things weigh so heavy. These things are so heavy, folks. God said this. God said it. And you know what? We've been taking Him for granted so long. We come and we offer our sacrifices to God and say, God, you need to accept that. God, I went to church Sunday and I sat there in the pews and I worship you. You need to accept my little sacrifice. Folks, I want to tell you, it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. Crime, violence, out of control. Our government don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do with it. I only know of one answer, folks. Prayer. Prayer. And me living a holy life. Truly living a holy life with Christ first in everything that I do. With Christ first. I believe that it would be prudent and it would be wise for you and I to take heed of the times that we're living in. It's going to change. Are you going to be surprised when it changes? There's a lot of folks that'll be surprised. It's going to change, folks. It's not going to continue on like it is. Remember when Jesus was here? And His heart went out to His people. And you see that little picture in your mind's eye where He sat there looking down on Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together, but you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't listen. Now your house is left unto you desolate." It's too late now. I was here. I begged you. I pleaded with you. I gave you the good news. I was the example of mercy and love. How often I would have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks. But you wouldn't listen. Are we going to listen? Are we going to listen? I guarantee you that probably most every one of you probably didn't expect to hear anything like this afternoon. Folks, I believe this is from God warning us, letting us know it ain't going to stay the way that it is. We look around us and we hear the news, we read the papers, and we already see how things are changing in our country and in our world. What's going to stop it? Not man. Man's not going to stop it. The depravity of a human heart cannot be stopped by man. There's only one that can stop the depravity or depravity of a human heart, and that's God. There's only one that can change that. I believe, this is what I believe from reading the scriptures. If we don't repent, there's a day coming in this nation where no amount of crying out is going to change the plan that God puts into final motion for this nation. If we don't repent as a people before God. Don't take God for granted, folks. Don't take this good life. You know, people are caught up in the good things of this life. They're caught up in it. But you and I must address what hinders our walk with God and let it go. Get rid of it. If it's become an idol to us, if it's become a hindrance to my spiritual walk with the Lord, get rid of it. In the fear of God, in the name of God, folks, get rid of it. And walk humbly before God. I do believe that God is finished with hypocritical living. He's finished with hypocritical living. And yet people continue to live hypocritically, sitting in our pews. No, I am not judging them. I know, I believe that God has revealed, will reveal some things to His true ministers. I believe God will reveal some things. Folks, it's time to get serious about this living for God. It's time to get serious because there's some things coming. He said in verse 7, as they were increased, the more they had. Oh, we live in the land of plenty, don't we? We live in the land of abundance. If you want something to eat, something in particular, you go get it. If you want to go somewhere and do something, you go do it. If there's something you want to buy, if it's a clothes, a house, a car, whatever, people go out and they do it. They might finance it up to their neck, but they'll go do it. And he said, and they were, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. I want to tell you something. This land of plenty has been a curse upon us as far as our spirituality of this nation. It's a curse. It's when the children of Israel got down in bondage and saw their terrible plight and began to call on God is when God heard them and had mercy and brought them out. As they were increased, so they sinned more against me. We're not looking up for God. I don't need you, Lord, to get what I want in this life. I can just go out and grab it. But he said, therefore will I change their glory into shame. I will do this, God said. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase because they've left off to take heed to the Lord. They've left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. I'm going to take just a few minutes more. I'd like to read the scripture. I'm debating on it. I believe the Lord would have me to read Jeremiah, the second chapter. Try not to read any more than needed. Jeremiah, the second chapter. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown? Folks, we tend to forget that God remembers everything. He remembers when you and I first sought after Him and begged Him for mercy to save our souls. He remembered those times when we went to the altar and we gave ourselves to Him. And as the song says, the land of Beulah, we became married to Christ. He remembered those times. And He said, I remember that you went after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of His increase. All that devoured him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. When Israel was holiness to the Lord, any enemy that came against them, evil would come upon them. God would deliver them. God would bless them. They were holiness to the Lord. Folks, it all comes down to more than just mere words. It comes down to our heart, our dedication, our consecration to God, where we are, where we really are with God, how we're really living with God. That's what it comes down to. That's what God is looking at today. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord. And you know, I can picture Him saying this to us today. I can picture Him saying this. I can hear Him saying it. What iniquity, what wrong have your fathers found in me that they're gone far from me and walked after vanity, walked after idols, and become vain? What have I done? What have I done wrong? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts, of pits, through a land of drought, of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? They didn't ask where he was. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also trespassed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Therefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see and send unto Kedar and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit? Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. I want to say, the Lord sees everything that is going on today. The Lord's looking down in the hearts of His people. He knows right where we are. You know, as I told someone, they were asking me some questions. I had a phone call. And I said, you know what the sectarian world does to get more people in is build bigger buildings to get youth pastors and song leaders and all that kind of stuff, pastors and ministers. And they build bigger buildings for the idea to entertain, to bring people in. Folks, if you're really looking to the Lord to bless your soul, don't look for entertainment here. It's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of a living God. Don't look for entertainment. But I'm praying that God will keep the fear of God on our hearts. You lose the fear of God and you're going to lose your soul. tell you that. So what we need to do, we need to wake up. Things aren't always going to be like they are right now. They're already turning for the worse. We need to shake ourselves a little bit. You know, I know there's a lot of messages preached. I'm not being critical here. Just talked about criticizing. There's a lot of messages preached among us. There's a lot of subjects that need to be covered. And the Holy Spirit knows what they are. And He knows when to bring them forth. I'm convinced of all of that. And there's subjects that touch love, and there's subjects that give instruction in how you and I are to live and so forth. Folks, this subject here this afternoon in the fear of God is that the judgment of God is coming down upon this nation. Where are we going to be? We need to kill our idols, folks. Get rid of them. Repent if need be. And you know what we need to get? We need to get back on the wall. Get back on the wall. Our ministers are to be watchmen on the walls. They're to warn the people. That's scripture, folks. Cry out and warn the people when you see the wrath coming. When you see these things coming upon the land and upon your people, cry out. You're the watchman. You have a responsibility and a duty. And if you don't do it, I'm going to require their blood at your hands. Pretty serious, isn't it? Pretty serious to me. Being that He's called me to be one of the watchmen. So, as foolish as this may look to someone, and I hope it doesn't look foolish to you because there's such a few. Folks, I want to tell you, I love your soul. I love all souls, but I love your soul. And I want you to be ready when the scourge comes. It's coming. We need the church. Listen to me, I don't have time to get into all this right now. But we need to reestablish the borders. There's been some landmarks that people have wanted to move, shift it just a little bit. They've changed the survey of the land, say we need to include this now. We need to let this in now. And all that does is compromise your soul. That's what it does. It compromises your soul when we let the world in and we let things in. I was told long time ago in one place, you're welcome to come to my congregation by the pastor. And he said, but if you preach on things, I'll have to stop you. I said, well, you invited me and then you just disinvited me in the same paragraph. Folks, there's things creeping in. And our young people think it's all right. You know why? Because the ministry is not crying out against it. We've got to hold the line on some things. We've got to reestablish the borders that were handed down to us. The borders that have been designed in God's holy word. We need to take our souls back from the enemy of our souls. Take your soul back, folks. Fight. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith that you can lay hold on eternal life. Take your soul back from the enemy. Don't let him have any inroad in your heart. Don't let him set up things that would be idols to you and cause you to lose everything that you have with the Lord. Don't let him do that. Scripture tells us it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Obey what? Obey the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. May the Lord help us this afternoon. You know, after something like this, and the Lord has given things like this to me from time to time, my flesh wants to apologize. But I'm not going to apologize. Because I believe everything the Lord gave us here this afternoon is truth. But he told us to warn the people. And I've done my duty. I've done my part. The rest is up to us. It's up to us. The warning's for me too. And what did he say? You all can quote it with me if you want, or you can quote it for me. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their prayers and I will heal their land. You know, God's the only one can do it, folks. He's the only one that's able. I plead with every one of us this afternoon, claiming to be God's people. And you know what? I believe we are. I truly believe we are. But we have a responsibility to take this nation, to take our children, our neighbors, this society that we live, we got to take it before God and ask God for mercy. We don't see people humbling themselves and praying today. As a matter of fact, it seems to be a greater lack of humility than I've ever seen it in all my life. We need to humble ourselves and pray, folks. Don't let anything come between you and God. Don't let put the preeminence or the importance or the stress on anything that would become an idol to you and cause God to be angry with you. He hates idol worship. He hates it. We get the idea sometimes, and I don't know if all of our young people understand, it's not that we have crosses up here and the crucifixion of Christ over here and Mary's statue here and Joseph's statue there and Christ. Folks, that there's more to idols than all of that. But it's what separates your desire from God. That becomes an idol to you. May God help us this afternoon. Have mercy on us. To me, it's a fearful time. It's a very fearful time. And we really need to be calling on the name of the Lord and begging Him for mercy. Pray for me that I'll be faithful. Amen.